Dr. Caroline Wheeler is going to be on our show at the Happiness Hangout today. We're very excited to have her. Dr. Caroline worked in New Zealand in her own family practice for 12 years, and she now lives in the UK. Her holistic approach brings together the best from all worlds: medicine, neuroscience, meditation, mindfulness, and psychology, as her passion is to empower people to sleep well. Welcome to the Happiness Hangout, Dr. Caroline. How are you?
Thank you, Laurie. I'm great. Thank you.
Good. It's great to have you. We really wanted to have you on the show because, you know, sleep is extremely important to health. And I think we all know when we don't get sleep, how it affects our happiness. And that's really important to delve into, especially if you don't sleep well. So if you don't mind, I'm just going to launch into my first question, if that's okay with you.
Sure.
Okay, wonderful. So first of all, why can't people sleep? What are some of the physical and mental reasons, or whatever reasons, people can't sleep?
Okay, well, that's a great question to start with. And so what I wanted to do today, Laurie, is just talk about insomnia. And there's so many different reasons for insomnia. The reasons from cold feet to feeling too revved up when you go to sleep. But the number one cause of insomnia is a busy mind. You know, I'm sure you know, and everybody who's listening will know, that when you go to bed with a busy and buzzing mind, thinking about anything and everything, you just can't go to sleep. And once you actually understand what's going on, then it makes it so much clearer. Because in order to go to sleep, we need to move from the busy brainwave pattern of our normal waking consciousness, which is beta waves. It's a fast, busy pattern. And we need to drop into that relaxed state of alpha. And then sleep is theta and delta, which is a much slower brainwave pattern. And you see, so many people go to bed with busy, buzzing minds, and they wonder why they can't drop from that beta right down into the theta and the delta of sleep. And they can't. And so they lie there tossing and turning, worried and thinking and not being able to go to sleep. And that's where my experience of meditation and my interest in the body mind comes in. And so what I do is I work with people and help them slow down their busy mind. And sometimes when your mind is just too busy, you can't slow it down. And so I've created something called Story Time, which is a bedtime story for adults, to give their mind something to listen to outside of themselves. In other words, my voice. And as people listen to my voice, slowing them down, they then are able to slow their brainwave pattern from that busy beta into the brainwave pattern of sleep.
You know, the interesting thing about that is I've suffered from that personally. I'm sure several of our listeners have had this issue too, is the more you try to sleep, the more you get frustrated, and then the more you get revved up.
Yeah.
So it's a pattern.
Yeah. And Laurie, that's something that's also really interesting. And when I work with people who can't sleep, a lot of them who are interested in a little bit of science, once they understand the science, it makes so much more sense. Because it's so easy just to lie in bed worried and thinking, oh, well, I will go to sleep. But actually, when you're worried, you produce adrenaline. And when you produce adrenaline and you've got too much adrenaline in your system, it's impossible to go to sleep. And once you realize that it's impossible to go to sleep when there's too much adrenaline in your system, and I can talk about that if you'd like me to, then you've got to do something to calm yourself down in order to lower the amount of adrenaline in your system. Because it's physiologically impossible to go to sleep when there's that much adrenaline in your system.
Yes, and I'd love to hear about that adrenaline piece, yes.
Okay. So what happens, in order to go to sleep, we need to drop our core body temperature by 1.5 degrees centigrade, which is about 3 degrees Fahrenheit. And in order to do that, we lose the heat through our feet and our hands. And if we've got too much adrenaline in our system, our feet get cold. Because, you know, adrenaline is a fantastic chemical when you want to run from the tiger or run from danger. Mm-hmm. But it's not very helpful when you're trying to go to sleep at night. Because what it does is it diverts the blood to our heart and our muscles and away from our feet. And when there's very little blood in our feet and our feet are cold, we can't lose that heat from our feet. And so that means it's physiologically impossible to go to sleep when you've got that much adrenaline in your system. And for me, you know, it was a game changer when I realized that. There were nights when I'd do, you know, 12-hour days, and then I'd go to an evening meeting at night, and I'd be revved up when I'd go back home at night, and I'd throw myself in bed exhausted, and I just wouldn't be able to sleep, even though I was exhausted because I was too revved up. And soon I realized that I just had to go through a relaxation process before I went to bed in order to go to sleep. And that's why sleep clinics and anybody who knows something about sleep will go on and on and on about a pre-bedtime sleep relaxation routine. And you know, when we were kids, most of us were taught to calm down at night and slow down. But what happens in our busy lives is that we get busy at night. We just want to do one more thing. We want to, you know, work on that computer, which is the worst thing that we can do just before bed. All those sorts of things, we just get busy. In fact, what we should be doing is calming down when we go to sleep and when we go to bed in order to go to sleep. And one of the things that I've always found fascinating, Laurie, is the study of success. What is it that people do who are successful when they sleep well? And what is it that people do who are not successful at sleeping well? And, you know, I know myself, I've got some friends who are brilliant at sleeping. They say they never have a problem. But when you actually look at their lives, they all have this pre-bedtime relaxation routine. They all chill out in the evening. Most of them leave their work at work and don't bring it home, even though they're very busy.
Now, you know what's funny about that is that I can't work out after 8 o'clock at night because I'll never go to sleep.
Yeah, that's brilliant. It's exactly that, Laurie. You know, because when you work out and you go to the gym late, your body gets too hot. And it's the same thing. In order to sleep, you've got to drop that core body temperature. And if you're too hot when you go to bed, it takes a lot longer to drop that core body temperature. And then what happens is that people get worried and think, why am I not able to go to sleep? And then they get worried and then adrenaline kicks in. So although their body might be cooling down from, you know, it's taken some time to cool down after the gym, then the adrenaline kicks in and then their body can't cool down.
You know, you sound much less, your volume sounds much less down. Can you speak a little bit louder?
Okay, sure.
I'm not sure it's you. It may not be you.
Okay.
But just wanted to let you know that. So adrenaline obviously is a problem with sleep. And I find, too, that I have to calm down about an hour ahead and I've got to work out 2 hours before. Now, does everyone have a different amount of sleep that they need? Because I know myself, 7 hours is my magic number. Is it how you're built physiologically that determines how much sleep you need? Or why is it that some people need 5 and they do great, and other people need maybe 8 before they really feel right?
Yeah. Again, this is a fantastic question. And the National Sleep Foundation says that as adults, we need between 7 to 9 hours of sleep a night. And if we get less than 6 hours of sleep, we struggle. And we don't get short-term memory going into long-term memory. We get all sorts of problems. And so there's, you know, people are always saying, what is the magic number of hours of sleep that we need? And there's a doctor called Dr. Greg Jacobs of the Sleep Disorder Center of the University of Massachusetts Medical School. And he says that 7 hours tends to be the average that most adults need. However, we all know that everyone's different. Some people can cope with 6 hours of sleep a night, and other people have to have 9 hours. And it's all about working out what you need individually. And not only what you need individually, but it will change throughout your lifetime. So, for example, if you're going through a very stressful time, you'll need more sleep. And For example, elite athletes, when they're training hard, they need a lot more sleep. And not only do they need a lot more sleep in terms of hours, they need a lot more deep sleep. So, and it's also a lot to do with the quality of sleep. It's not just quantity of sleep. So when you're stressed, often you don't get the same quality of sleep. And so very often you feel like you need more sleep. So I'm sure you know when you're on holiday and you're relaxed and you go to bed relaxed and you have a deep sleep, you might not need so much sleep after a few days of recovering from your busy life and repaying that sleep debt.
Now, in terms of dreaming, we have to dream in order to get into that deep sleep cycle. Is that correct?
No. So what happens is when we go to sleep, we go into level one sleep. And that's the kind of sleep that, you know, you might be at the movies and someone next to you, your friend next to you is starting to snore and you dig them in the ribs and you say, stop snoring. And they jolt awake and they say, I wasn't snoring. It's because they weren't asleep, they'll say. And that's because they were in such a light sleep. So that's level one sleep. And then when you move from level one and you go into level two sleep, and then you go into level three sleep and level four sleep. And level three sleep and level four sleep is that deep sleep, which is so important for repair of cells and healing. And then you come out of that, and then you go into a short period of REM sleep, rapid eye movement. That's when the dreaming happens. And then you wake up. And that cycle takes about 90 minutes. And then if you don't remember that you've woken up the next morning, you'll just turn over and go back to sleep and drop into another cycle of 90 minutes. And then you'll wake up, drop into another cycle of 90 minutes. So the REM sleep happens at the end of the sleep cycle. And you'll find that you have more REM sleep in the early hours of the morning.
Oh, right when you're about to wake up?
Yeah, so you know, when you wake up, you'll remember, maybe you'll remember your dreams. And that's because the REM sleep happens just before you wake up. And this is a really interesting point, actually, Laurie, is that so many people say, oh, I had such a good night's sleep, I didn't wake up last night. And other people will say, oh, I woke up again last night. But once you realize that everybody wakes up at night, it's what we do. It's just that some people don't remember it because they go straight back to sleep. Then waking up isn't the problem. It's going back to sleep that's the problem. Mm-hmm.
Yes, that can be a major problem for a lot of people.
Yeah.
They cannot go back to sleep.
Yeah.
And why does that happen? Is your body still too revved up, or why can't you go back to sleep?
Yeah, well, very often that's because they're thinking. Number one cause of not being able to go to sleep at night when you first go to bed or going back to sleep is thinking and worrying. And the same thing, it's like taking charge of that busy mind, you know, taking back control of the mind and not letting the mind control you. But it's easier said than done. And that's why I've created, the thing that I've created that's been the most successful has been this idea of story time. Because it's instead of listening to guided relaxations that are work, that can feel like work in the early hours of the morning, you listen to my voice soothing you and guiding you back into sleep with a story. So a lot of people will listen to it in the middle of the night or listen to it when they go to bed at night because it makes them listen to my voice instead of their own internal chatter. And a lot of people can do this with radio. They listen to the radio. They turn the radio on in order to listen to a voice outside their head instead of the voice inside their own head.
I see. Tell us a little bit about how not getting good sleep or getting good sleep can affect our health, happiness, and well-being.
Yeah. Well, most of us know, who are lucky enough to have had good sleep, we know how good we feel when we sleep well. And how much easier and fun life can be. We do more when we sleep well. We see our friends more. We have better relationships when we sleep well, whereas when we don't sleep well, we tend to be more irritable. We don't do so much. We stay at home more. We don't exercise so much. In other words, we have so much more energy when we sleep well. So, in other words, we have a much higher well-being when we sleep well. And also this thing about health. I'm sure you've had that experience and you've gone to bed with a bit of a cold, and maybe you've been lucky enough to have a deep sleep that night, and you've woken up the next morning feeling great, and mm-hmm. the cold's completely gone. And that's because in deep sleep the healing happens. And that's why in our modern society so many people forget or they don't prioritize sleep. And when they're busy, they take from their sleep time. They stay awake late at night and they get up early in the morning. But that's the number one thing that you need to do when you're busy is you need to sleep well. And you need to not steal from your sleep time. So healing happens, and this is something that I'm really passionate about, Laurie. Healing happens in that deep sleep. My father went to hospital recently, and the hospital ward was like a busy motorway at rush hour in the early hours of the morning. You know, the nurses were walking around, turning on lights, and people just couldn't sleep. And yet, you know, you go to hospital to get better. But the number one and the cheapest way of looking after your health is to sleep well. Because it's in that deep sleep that we have all the healing.
Now, that is so interesting. My good friend is a thoracic cardio nurse for the Cleveland Clinic. And the Cleveland Clinic is known as the best heart hospital in the world. So she works on that unit. And we had just had a big conversation about this. She said the same thing that you said. All night long, we have to wake people up to do all the various things we have to do. And that affects their recovery so much. It makes absolutely no sense. I understand what needs to be done. People need to be monitored. You have to wake them for certain things. But she has told me that she tries her best to be very calming and soothing when she has to do it. But still, you can't get any rest. It's so counterintuitive. It just doesn't make any sense.
It's crazy. It's crazy. And we've lost our way. You know, we've lost our way in medicine where pills and tablets and drips are more important than something as fundamental as sleep. And that's why I feel so passionate about sleep, and that's why I'm teaching it. Because sleep is so important.
It really is. I mean, it affects your entire day. And then the other things that we do, which is so interesting, is we try to put chemicals in our bodies to help us get through the lack of sleep, and they end up being worse for you. You know, you look at the things with all the caffeine people drink, and, you know, exercise is great if you can get yourself to do it, because then at least you've got your endorphins up, you've got your energy level up, but people are drinking all the monster drinks. They have so many different names to them. And I know those can really, with all the sugar and the caffeine, first of all, they don't last that long, and then they can cause real health problems, can't they?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, somebody sent me a picture the other day, and it was all about the best way of getting rid of rust from your barbecue is to pour Coca-Cola all over it, you know, and that's full of caffeine. So basically, it's crazy, isn't it? What happens is that we can't sleep, and then we spend our day. And the commonest cause, well, lack of sleep is a real contributor to obesity. So many people, and I know myself, when I haven't slept well, I also eat more carbs and sugar. And so many people do that. They just don't sleep well. They eat carbs and sugar. They keep themselves going through the day with caffeine. And then they're so revved up from all the caffeine at night that they can't sleep the next night. And it's this crazy cycle. So when you can't sleep, it's about going back to the basics, getting someone to help you, because there is a way for everyone to sleep well. It's just about knowing how. So I worked with somebody, and she's a woman called Margie, and she couldn't sleep. She just couldn't sleep. It upset her, distressed her so much. And yet, the cause was so simple. It was due to cold feet. And as we've talked about before, you just can't sleep if your feet are too cold. And she got some woolen socks, and she can sleep well now. I mean, bed socks. I mean, the answer to her health problems was to get some bed socks.
Oh, my gosh. Who would even think?
I know. It wasn't to go to the doctor or to get vitamins or to pay a fortune. It was to buy some bed socks and know that she needed warm feet to go to bed at night. And that's what excites me so much about doing this work, is a small intervention can make such a big difference. So for her, every winter, she struggled with her health, she struggled with her well-being, and it was all due to the fact of her cold feet. And the answer was just something so simple.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
Well, my feet are always freezing. So but you know, I don't like to sleep in socks. So that's pretty interesting. But, you know, if you had to do it, you would do it because you need it.
So your feet are always cold, and do you have problems sleeping? When your feet are cold, do you have problems sleeping?
I don't think so. I think the only time I personally have a problem sleeping is when I have something on my mind that's bothering me.
Okay. So I suppose for you, maybe, Laurie, your feet aren't getting that cold. They feel cold, but like her feet were ice cold. So there was no way she was going to be able to lose the heat from her feet and her hands because of circulation problems. So, and there's so many different ways of sorting a problem. You don't just have to have bed socks. You know, for her, it was having a bath a couple of hours before bed to making sure she was warm enough and putting on fluffy slippers and making sure her bed was warm enough. And something, you know, easy answers once you know what the problem is.
Do you think it's a bad idea to use, I know growing up, a lot of my family and probably a lot of other families used a heating blanket, the electric blanket we called it. But of course, that heats you all over head to toe. Do you have any opinion whether that's a good or bad idea?
Yeah, absolutely. So for example, with Margie, she'd go to bed and she wanted to make sure in winter that her bed was warm enough. Because so often you get into a cold bed and then you cool down. But if the bed was too hot, then she wouldn't be able to go to sleep. For the same reason, because she wouldn't be able to drop that core body temperature. And if she happened to leave that electric blanket on and forget to turn it off, then she'd wake up in the middle of the night sweating, and it would take some time in order to drop her core body temperature again in order for her to go back to sleep. So really it's about temperature management. If you're too hot, you're not going to be able to sleep. If you're too cold, you're not going to be able to sleep. And it's about being sensible. I mean, you know, a lot of people don't like electric blankets for other reasons, but an electric blanket can be quite useful. I mean, in England, we tend to use hot water bottles, you know. I love that hot water bottle. It's so nurturing and comforting. You know, you can just warm up your feet. I've just been on a meditation camp for the weekend, and it was freezing, you know, typical English weather, and we were camping. And the only way I was able to go to sleep, because my feet were so cold in that cold tent, was having a hot water bottle to warm them up. So yeah, it's simple stuff. And I think this whole thing is sleeping, when you can't sleep, it's not about going and getting pills. It's not about sleeping pills. Sleeping pills do work short term for some people, but they don't work long term. So if somebody's got long term sleeping problems, don't go to sleeping pills because it's not going to work. Find out what the cause of your sleeping problem is and get some help to sort it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Because anything your body's not doing naturally could end up being a problem.
Absolutely, Laurie.
I have to tell you a funny story. My mom always said growing up, my dad was always warm. She said when he went to sleep, he was like an automatic heater in the bed. But her feet were always freezing. So all she would do is just put both her feet right on the bottom of his like legs near his feet and stick them, push her feet under his legs and go to sleep. And that's how she would do it. Gorgeous. Because the heat was perfect.
Gorgeous. So He was her hot water bottle.
He was, and he couldn't have an electric blanket on. He was too hot, so she just used him. So it worked out really well. But whatever it takes to get you there, right?
Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant.
I love it. I love it. So in terms of your website, I'd like to hear a little bit more, and hopefully our listeners would enjoy hearing a little bit more about, tell us about what you have on your website or any kind of maybe last minute advice you have and what you're doing right now.
Okay, sure. So I invite anyone and everyone to come to my website, which is called thesleepkit.com. And there's lots of free resources on that site. For example, I've created Sleep Radio on iTunes for free, where people can come and ask questions. And twice a week, Tuesday and Thursday, I answer people's questions and explain things like temperature management or whatever. And I've also got story time. Please come to the website, and you can also get 5 chapters of story time for free on iTunes by going to my website. So story time is what I'm really, really focusing on at the moment, because it's so simple and it's so effective. When I first put it onto iTunes for free, when I first started this, and within no time at all, there were 100,000 downloads, and I was getting emails from all over the world of people telling me, one woman who had gone through chemo said that she'd tried everything. She'd tried guided relaxations, white noise, everything. And she discovered story time, and it worked. And that really helped her in her healing. So, and from autistic people, the whole spectrum of people. So come to my website and listen to those chapters for free and see how it makes a difference to your life.
Well, that sounds wonderful. And I think we have so many people in the world who have trouble sleeping. And as you said before, it affects every aspect of your life, the way you eat, exercising, not exercising, your mood. I mean, it just, to me, it affects really almost, if not every piece of your life and your world. So it really starts with doing the basics, eating right, exercising, sleeping well. All those basics need to be met, and the sleep is so important. I guess I'll end with a final question. I know you had your practice for 12 years. What made you decide to have, you know, you have a passion about people sleeping well. What puts you onto that passion, or why did you end up going into this specific area of sleeping well?
Yeah, yeah. Well, Laurie, my passion is integrative medicine, integrative health. I've lived all around the world, what I want to get out there is that what we do ourselves and how we look after ourselves can make such a big difference to our lives and to our health. And so sleep is one way that I teach people how to look after themselves, because when you sleep well, everything happens better in your life. Your health is better, your well-being is better, everything works better.
Well, that's absolutely true. And I think most people would agree with that. And I'm very jealous of people who can sleep 5 and 6 hours and say, oh, I feel great, that's all I need. I've even had a person I knew who only slept 4 hours a night, and that was perfect for that person. And I thought, I wish I could do that. But you're built how you're built, and you cannot fight, you know, physiologically how you're built.
But Laurie, it's interesting as well, you know, when you actually talk to people like that, very often, every now and then, they have to sleep 12 or 15 hours, and they just... So they are repaying a sleep debt.
Really? I didn't know that.
So often you hear of people who sleep 6 hours a night, but then you say, do you ever sleep longer than that? And they say, yes, funnily enough, every now and then I sleep 12 or 14 hours.
Oh. Okay, so, I didn't know you could make sleep up like that, or that your body would do that to catch up.
Yeah, so many people have a sleep debt. They're running on empty, and then if they can sleep a long time and repay that sleep debt, they can come back. It's like money in the bank. You know, if you're not getting enough sleep, then, you know, your bank balance is going down. Your sleep bank balance is going down.
Right. Well, that makes sense. I think a lot of people today hopefully had some questions answered, and we'll continue to talk about sleep throughout our entire show. But I would really like to thank Dr. Caroline Wheeler for being with us, and make sure you go to thesleepkit.com and make sure you check out Storytime or check out Sleep Radio on iTunes. And if you need help or you know someone who needs help, make sure that you get this great valuable information to them. And Dr. Caroline, I really am very thankful and grateful that you were able to be on the show, and I'm sure it's helped a lot of people today.
Thanks, Laurie.
Okay, thank you so much.
Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.